Podcasts by Demos.
Hello, welcome to another Demos podcast. I'm Sam Jones. I'm talking today to Hassan Bakshi, who has just published a report with Missions Model and Money called Measuring Intrinsic Value. Hassan, would you like to tell us a bit about yourself and your co-authors?
Sure. Well, my name is Hassan Bakshi. I'm Research Director for the Arts and Creative Industries at Nesta. I also head up our policy development in this area. My co-authors are Alan Freeman, who is an economist who works at the GLA in London, and Graham Hitchin, who's an independent consultant who's well known for working in the cultural sector.
Okay, the report's called Measuring Intrinsic Value, How to Stop Worrying and Love Economics. What's it about, Hassan?
Well, the paper really is written as a reaction against two, what we believe are two sort of prevailing views within the arts leadership community, and also actually I think within economic policy making within the within government, which is first that economics as a science has nothing to say about the intrinsic value of culture. It has an awful lot to say about instrumental benefits from culture, but nothing to say about the intrinsic values. That's one thing that we think is a fallacy. And a related view, and a slightly more extreme view, which is that any measurement science cannot really be applied to the cultural sector. So the paper's really been written as a reaction against those two, to try and spell out why we think they are fallacies, and then to suggest a positive agenda by which empirical techniques which exist and are used in other areas of policy can indeed be used to measure intrinsic value in the arts.
Okay, reading it, I was very struck by the different definition that you took to the word economics. Can you explain a bit what you mean by economics?
Yes, I think it's a good question, because I think a number of people often falsely equate economic with financial, and we don't use the term financial value anywhere in this paper, for the good reason that really economics is a theory of value. Ultimately, it's grounded very firmly in consumer preferences, founded very much in an understanding of what consumers prefer and how they choose between different goods and services. In the same way, economics as a theory of value can be applied to look at the arts.
How would you say the economic side of the argument has to change?
Yes, well, I think I've been working as a sort of a practicing economist for 18 years now, and the truth of it is that neoclassical economics, which is the dominant intellectual approach within economics, has not been historically particularly open-minded about alternative disciplinary perspectives on the issues that we're trying to value, on the goods and services that economists are trying to value. And the truth of it is that culture, like many other things, but perhaps more so, is a very multidimensional and complex phenomenon. There is a political dimension to art and culture, there's a sociological dimension, there's an anthropological dimension, there's an aesthetic dimension, and there's an economic dimension. And I think historically, economists have been more interested in developing a deep science to apply the economic concept of value without really taking much of an interest in the alternative perspectives. For that reason, I think there are many areas where people need to stop worrying and love economics. It's not just really in the arts and the culture. There is a dialogue to be had between these different perspectives, and I think economics has an awful lot to say.
Mm-hmm. Conventionally, economic judgments of the arts have been seen from certain quarters of the cultural sector as tramlining culture. But what you're saying is it actually liberates it in some way. It opens potential, it opens more opportunity, it opens the opportunity to make these arguments more constructively, more coherently.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that, I'm coming very much at this as a researcher, and I work in an organisation which isn't partisan in the sense of having a particular arts agenda. I come at this as a researcher, so I have no prior about what the, you know, if one was to apply some of the empirical techniques that we advocate to measure the intrinsic value of a cultural institution, say, or a cultural good or service, I have no prior on what the answer will say. I know that implicitly in many of the economic policy discussions, the valuation is zero. Because there hasn't been a translation of these arguments for the intrinsic value of art into a language, a commensurable value concept, which economic policymakers deal with, there's an implicit zero assumption there. But I'm not having any presumption when you do these studies. They should be aimed to be scientific, so what that means is, in the results of some of these the applications of the empirical techniques that we advocate may point to a rather low number for the intrinsic value of art in certain cases. And that's something, as researchers and policymakers, we need to be open to, even though that obviously would be a tough message for certain interests.
Would you say this is the role of cultural professionals or economists or both?
What we call for the, you know, for those people who read the paper, is really for a wholesale sort of increase in the amount of contingent valuation studies that are done in this sector. And some of that will be provided by market organisations who feel they, who we believe can articulate their wider public benefit through using these techniques. But it may also fall fall on arts funders and the government. And research councils to put money into these studies in organisations which typically would not have the resources or the intellectual capacity and experience to engage with these sorts of techniques.
Podcasts by Demos.
You've actually used the term cultural economics, and just to recap, how would you define that?
Cultural economics, as I say, sort of brings one perspective or one makes one contribution to the debate. And I would define it really as the application of largely traditional neoclassical economic principles to valuation in the cultural sector, but also in terms of understanding what the implications are for an arts and cultural organisation which is trying to maybe develop a business model to generate new financial streams to finance their activities. Again, economics has an awful lot to say about organisations which are looking to create and generate revenues. I think economics, or cultural economics, also has an awful lot to say about, based on the assumptions that are motivating artistic and cultural activities, what are then the implications of that for the outputs from those cultural goods and cultural activities. I think neoclassical economics, in the guise of cultural economics, has an awful lot to say about how arts funding institutions can therefore support arts and arts organisations and artists, again, depending on what their behavioural motivations are for the art that they're doing. So I think it's quite a rich, you know, what the definition of cultural economics is really is large in application of neoclassical economics. And there's a, in my view, there's a relatively large amount of low-hanging fruit which hasn't currently been picked in the context of the arts and culture sector in quite the same way has in other sectors to actually improve our understanding of these activities.
It seems that, following the logic of your paper, cultural economics, in your terms, has a very has potential to democratise and actually reflect a much more representational take on culture, and therefore, in some ways, support a much more expressive view of the cultural sector. Would you agree with that? And what potential is there?
I would agree with that, and of course, in this sense, there's a very close connection between the arguments we make in this paper and the work that indeed you and John Holden and other researchers at Demos have been working for some time, really, which is, and I think one way to think about this is who's you know, intrinsic value, but whose intrinsic value? Who judges whether art has intrinsic value? And put simply, there are at least two approaches. One is based on expert opinion. Art, which is of high intrinsic value, is judged. Is judged that way by the by arts experts and indeed by artists. That's sort of one view. Another view is actually it's the general public, it's the users, it's the consumers, it's a wider constituency than the experts, which are placed to judge what is the intrinsic value. And of course, this is one of the philosophical difficulties, I think, with the concepts of intrinsic value. It's very difficult to define an absolute, by definition, an absolute measure of intrinsic value. If the criteria which are being used to judge what is of intrinsic value are purely self-referential and in the minds of the judge. Mm-hmm. So I think on one level, I mean, cultural economics is all about the... ultimately, it's based on consumer choice and consumer preferences, which in a policy setting is aggregated into public choice. And for that reason, there's an inherent democracy to an economist's perspective on valuation. And I think you're right to say that, therefore, that in this paper, when we apply some of these arguments in the cultural sector, there's an inherent gelling there with the democratization of culture and those people who argue that culture and cultural policy needs to be democratized.
Okay, and finally, just to sort of wrap up, what specific recommendations do you make in the paper and why?
Well, this paper is ultimately really about, I mean, it's a provocation. So we know not everyone's going to like it. But it's been really written, as I say, to primarily to stimulate a debate between our key audiences, which are arts leaders, who we feel have been fairly dismissive of economics to date, and economic policymakers within government, who typically have been dismissive of the arts. So that's the primary aim of the paper. And for that reason, we don't go into any very detailed recommendations. There are two very natural ones that emerge from the argument that we make in our main thesis. And the first of which is one which I've alluded to earlier, which is really there needs to be a massive increase in the amount of research that's done in terms of applied studies of these contingent valuation methodologies to the arts and cultural sector. There's a huge tradition within the UK, actually, of applying these methods in other areas of policy, not least in the environmental and health areas, areas which, of course, have equally challenging and controversial valuation issues, valuing human life, for example. But these techniques are used. And then secondly, which I think in the current budget environment is one that we is more of an aspiration, I think, than a realistic recommendation. But it's really that somewhere within government, after all, government is a very significant supporter of the arts in the UK. But there needs to be somewhere, and we call for a centre for excellence in cultural economics. There needs to be somewhere within government, most obviously within the DCMS, which is really a sponsor for the sorts of the debates that we're really trying to provoke here, and also an application, really, an intellectual sponsor for the application of the methodologies that we advocate. Cultural economics is probably one of the least understood and respected areas, perhaps, within government, and that's really based on a general lack of understanding. I still know of no undergraduate course, economics course in the UK, which teaches has an option in cultural economics. It's a far more developed discipline than people are aware of. There's a second volume of the handbook, the official handbook of cultural economics, which is the Bible for neoclassical economics, the handbook series. There's a second volume being edited by David Throsby and Victor Ginsburg that's coming out next year, I believe. There is a large amount of developed and rigorous research that's done in the academic area, which is just completely unknown within government. So we believe that we do need some sort of centre for excellence and expertise in cultural economics housed within government. Podcasts by Demos.